Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Eight o'clock. Thanks for joining us, Jim and Cake, today. The Infirmary Twins. I've got the allergy throat issue. You've got
some intestinal stomach distress.
Not to be confused with fortitude, intestinal fortitude, which is good to have. What you have is sadly not that today.
No.
All right. So thanks for joining us. Friday, doorstep of the weekend. When can we have some nice weather? Why can't we have some nice weather back-to-back-to-back days?
Come on, Colorado. I know it's always a cliche, like, oh, wait 5 minutes. If you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes. It's like, okay, yeah, but...
I'm still waiting. Still waiting for the weather to be nice.
Still here.
All right, so thanks for joining us on this Apache Friday. This hour brought to you by Preston Lee, a country financial, believes in building relationships, supporting the community, and serving others. Have a chat and let him help you protect the things that are important to you. Google him at Preston Lee, Country Financial. All right, Jackson Wilson, River City Sportplex, will join us coming up after a bit.
Hopefully he's not also infirmed.
I would hope not. I'd hope Jackson's okay. I'd hope he's all right. And we'll talk a little Avalanche coming up with him. And they also have the Hawk Hacker coming up, the golf tournament out at Adobe Creek. I believe that is on the 4th, so we'll get into that. All right, so if you got some thoughts about last night's games, I'm going to pose a question to the pile.
All right.
The Marty brought up. He says NCAA basketball tournament is the best postseason. And while I don't disagree with that, I counter with, yeah, but Stanley Cup playoffs are pretty darn good.
Especially when it's your team that's in them and winning.
Exactly.
Like, not that we would know anything about that.
Like last year. Yes, when, of course, our beloved Colorado Avalanche got the job done last year, hoisting the Stanley Cup. Don't know if it's going to happen this year or not, but we'll see. All right, so...
They could still, with the few days left, they could still be number one in the West, though.
They could very well make that happen. Blew a chance the other night, though. That loss to Pittsburgh could have been tied for first in the Central, and missed opportunity. All right, so 8:03, and we'll start out the 8 o'clock hour, 5 days a week on this program, with a little segment we call...
The latest on the Broncos and the league. It's Around the NFL on the Jim Davis Show.
All right, we will start things out with the news about KJ Hamler. And man, it's not good.
No.
It's not good at all. That report in the Denver Post, report at Mile High Sports, or Mile High Report, excuse me, and Mile High Sports, that Broncos receiver, the injury-plagued former Penn State Nittany Lion KJ Hamler, suffered a torn pec, out 4 to 6 months. And he did this working away from the team. And so Tom Pelissero, the NFL Network, initially reported this. And so... best case, he's ready for training camp. Worst case, he's ready for the start of the season.
Or at least the first couple of weeks.
Right. And so, we'll see what happens, but it just goes with the, remember his sophomore year as a Bronco. Had the knee injury and hip injury. Then he tried to come back in 2022. He still had issues. Ultimately got placed on the IR after suffered a hamstring injury. There was talk that Denver tried to trade him in the offseason. If they had any takers for pretty much any price,
those are gone.
Those are gone, and they probably should have taken him up on it. I mean, at some point, your greatest asset is your availability.
Right.
No matter how fast he is. Like, oh, he could be the next Tyreek Hill in the AFC West. Like,
yeah, but he can't stay on the field.
But if you can't stay on the field, it doesn't do you a darn bit of good. And so that's where things are right now. And so, I mean, he's played in 8 games the last 2 years. And you got to help your KJ Hamler that you can get healthy and get out there and prove to Sean Payton why the Broncos want to keep you around. But another big, big setback for him. Another big setback.
And I feel like he had injury problems going back to his college days. Because I seem to recall that he had some sort of knee or other, you know, pretty massive injury ahead of the draft that knocked him down to where he was ultimately taken. Because I feel like he could have been maybe not like first round, but like mid to high second round, and the injury bug just plagued him. I could be wrong, but I feel like the narrative of KJ Hamler and injuries is nothing new, which is really unfortunate, because when you see him on the field and you know that he can do amazing things, he can be fast, he can get open, he can beat guys deep downfield. He just can't stay on the field.
He got hurt in a game against Indiana when he played at Penn State, missed the rest of the game. I'm trying to look and see what else here in terms of his injury history. But there's a little bit of something there going back to his Penn State days, just a little bit. Also, when Joel was on last hour, he mentioned the Mike McGlinchey socks reference. And for those that aren't,
what's this all about?
So if you're not familiar with what the new Broncos right tackle is talking about, McGlinchey did an interview with Mike Kliss, the unofficial mouthpiece of the Broncos, 9 News Broncos insider. McGlinchey said, "It hit me a few years ago when I was watching the draft. And draft day or free agency, when you get an offensive lineman or two offensive linemen like we did in Denver, it's like getting socks and underwear for Christmas. You know you need them, but they're not exactly the sexiest gift." He's right about that.
Yeah, you
know
what?
People get jazzed about a running back, quarterback, wide receiver, edge rusher.
Skill position guys, defensive backs.
But offensive linemen, it's like... But you know what? I was giddy. Like, they got a skill position guy. Because they need, desperately have needed, some kind of answer at right tackle. The revolving door that has been there for years now. And McGlinchey said he was only aware of that particular situation, you know, over the last week or so. Same interview with Mike Kliss. So I've seen a lot of information on that. I hope to put a nice little plug in that hole. And so if you look at McGlinchey as far as his durability, 2018, rookie season, where he started a guard for the Niners, by the way.
So he's versatile.
Very versatile guy. 16 games that he played in every game in 2018, the regular season. Played 12 at right tackle the following season. Then 16 in 2020 at right tackle. 2021 is the one where you go, ooh, only played in 8 games. 2022, answered the bell in every single regular season game.
And offensive linemen in particular, I think, take some of the most beatings. And I think it's pretty rare, with some exceptions, I think it's fairly rare to have an offensive lineman play every single game, especially now that we've added a couple games. So that's pretty impressive to me that he was able to play a complete season. I don't think there was any offensive lineman this year for the Broncos that played an entire season.
Yeah.
Bowles didn't.
Yeah, because Bowles had the leg fracture early on. Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's... I don't...
Right tackle.
Because now Reisner missed time. I mean, right tackle is... Who's healthy this week?
Right. Pull someone from the stands.
All right, so one theme continues to play out here. Like when George Payton was hired as the GM of the Broncos. Remember when it was, hey, let's get that Mike Boone guy, former Vikings guy. Let's get those former Vikings guys. Well, now the trend has been getting former New Orleans Saints because of Sean Payton. Well, yesterday the Broncos signed former Saints running back Tony Jones Jr., who, by the way, yesterday also got married yesterday, so he signed a deal, a one-year contract, the same day that he got married. Kind of like Sergio Romo announcing his retirement at his wedding.
That's so awesome.
Played at Notre Dame, several years at the Saints. He was the Seahawks last year. And so they bring him in, depth guy at the running back spot. Because it's going to be Williams, it's going to be Pukki, and Samaje Perine are going to be your top two guys. It's looking less and less like Latavius Murray. It was almost like it was a given, right?
Yeah.
Murray's going to be back.
Yeah.
It's looking less and less like Latavius Murray might be a Bronco in 2023.
And the only thing that he would have going for him to potentially come back as a Bronco is if Javonte Williams isn't ready to go by the start of the season. And so you would need depth at the running back position anyway, because, you know, as we recall, as much as we don't want to, that injury that he suffered, that Javonte had, there was talk that he wouldn't even be ready for, like, the start of the regular season, probably, like, midway through this season with how devastating the injury it was. So you need depth anyway. And
they also had to sell Perine a little bit on being a guy willing to split time.
Yeah.
Because Perine's looking, you know, he's obviously a backup in Cincinnati, backing up Joe Mixon, looking to maybe get that opportunity to be a feature back, a lead guy. And Denver has had to do a little bit of a sales job on him to say, hey, you know, we want you here, but you're going to be splitting some time. You're still going to be in that kind of situation with Javonte Williams going forward. Also, Mile High Report today, as we go around the NFL, there's a fairly lengthy piece about Jarrett Stidham. And that the headline is, Jarrett Stidham is assigning Russell Wilson should not take lightly.
Okay.
Because Joel brought up Jarrett Stidham last hour, that he liked the signing of Stidham. And they kind of go through the history a little bit of Stidham, who I forgot that he was a Baylor at one point. Started his career at Baylor.
Yeah.
And then Art Briles had, there was the sex scandal, all that that went on. And so he left. He transferred to Auburn, where he ended up being a really good quarterback there. And out of high school, he was ranked as the number one dual threat quarterback when he committed to Baylor. And so the Raiders last year, as we talked about quite a bit, started two games. He was 45 of 70, 584, four touchdowns, three picks, and a 92 passer rating. And the bulk of those good numbers, though, came against San Francisco, the league's number one defense.
Right.
And so people like Matthew Berry, you know, NFL pundit, saying, hey, the signing should be an indication to Russell Wilson that Sean Payton's not exactly thrilled with him, and they better start impressing him, or there could be an opportunity for Stidham there to take over that job. NFL Network's Bucky Brooks said that the signing should not be overlooked. Stidham's IQ, arm talent, and promising flashes as a spot starter, easy for me to say, for the Las Vegas Raiders, undoubtedly raised his profile as a developmental player with a QB1 potential. What do you think Russ's take was on this? You think Russ was going, oh, okay, backup guy, that'll be great. You know, I don't want to get hurt. Hopefully I don't get hurt. But, you know, he played well against,
yeah,
you know, against the Niners.
He's going to say all the right things, Russ will. And he'll say, you know, like you were saying, you know, hope I don't get hurt. But he's
good to have him here.
Good to have him here. He's a competitor, blah, blah, blah. I would guess.
Good addition to our quarterback room. Seems like a good guy.
That would be my guess as to what he said.
Or do you think he's going, pressure's on me here. I got to get this turned around.
I feel like he knows that, though.
I think he does. And Russ isn't happy with how he played.
No.
He's not happy with how things went last year. He was thrilled at how things went last year. Obviously not. All right, so we'll get to some general league news this morning that NFL may expand the definition of a launch for the protection of defenseless players. So what they're looking at is they're going to add two words to the definition of launch in the official rule book, and those two words could result in more penalty flags being thrown, and the league hopes fewer injuries. It is a legal launch into an opponent who is in a defenseless posture, and currently the definition of a launch is when a player leaves both feet prior to contact to spring forward and upward into his opponent.
Okay.
Once again, Pyle, my apologies this morning. dealing with the raspy voice this morning. Under the rule proposed by the competition committee, two words would be added to the definition of a launch that would read, leaves one or both feet prior to contact, excuse me, to spring forward and upward into his opponent. Now, it would need 24 of the league's 32 teams to pass it. And typically, player safety rule proposals usually get the green light.
The question I have, though, is if this proposed change is going to directly result in more penalty flags thrown, are we going to see some resistance to it? Because we're already kind of in this weird gray area when it comes to roughing the passer, and the rule there doesn't seem to be very clear, or at least it doesn't seem to get enforced the way that it ought to, probably. So if you're going to have this new rule change about launching that you know is going to result in more penalty flags, are maybe guys going to be resistant to it?
I think it gets back to player safety.
Right.
And I think, will there be players, defensive players, that aren't thrilled with that? Yeah. Will there be offensive players that will like to see that be the case? Yes. If you're concerned about player safety, these are the kind of rules that need to be looked at
addressed, yeah,
and addressed. And players just need to stop launching. Simple as that. Also, one other thing around the NFL this morning, that Zeke Elliott is out there as a free agent. And ESPN.com had a report that Elliott has three teams from which he's choosing to potentially join. And one of those teams is the Cincinnati Bengals.
Which could be very interesting.
Bengals coach Zach Taylor, though, said, there's a lot of great players that are available right now. We like our team as where it's at right now. But it's always funny when things get thrown around. Sometimes it's the first year of it, but but that's just the way life works. And so, in the article, Adam Schefter never mentioned the Bengals, Jets, or Eagles are actually interested in Elliott. But apparently, with the reaction of Taylor, that maybe the Bengals are more interested in Ezekiel Elliott than you might think.
Imagine having replacing Samaje Perine with Ezekiel Elliott. Joe Mixon's still going to be that
he's
starter.
He's still their guy.
He's still their bell cow, but...
But interesting thing I saw about Zeke Elliott, too, he wants his number 15 back that he wore in college at Ohio State. He wants to wear 15 again. So he's going to have less money, probably,
right,
to pay for that number to get it from somebody if they already have 15, wherever he goes.
Wasn't there somebody on the Bengals that had that number that died? That, like, it was some wide receiver that I could be wrong. Could be wrong on the number.
Yeah, it's not ringing a bell, but...
I don't know. You know what, though? If he wants 15, I say, let him have 15. What's the worst?
Yeah, I'm looking to see here if that number's retired by Cincinnati, and I don't see that. Anyway, who do we have on the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line?
From sunny Scottsdale, Arizona, Mike from Scottsdale.
All right. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning. How you doing?
Other than allergies and my voice barely hanging in there, I'm doing swell today, sir.
I can't tell if you have like a Bonnie Tyler vibe going on or Marge's sisters from The Simpsons. One of those.
Heartache. Nothing but a heartache.
There you go.
Was that a total eclipse of the sun? Wasn't that the other one? Wasn't that the Bonnie Tyler? Wasn't like Total Eclipse?
Oh, the Heartache and obviously the Footloose.
Yeah.
Total Eclipse of the Heart. Yeah.
Total Eclipse of the Heart. Thank you, son. Oh, the Heart. Yes, thank you.
Yes. So, yeah, I didn't know you took up smoking, but, you know, it's changed your voice.
Not in a good way. Not in a good way at all.
Right. So, I've got to go with March Madness for the best sporting event of the entire year. Because, think about it. Even if you don't have a team involved, which, thanks to my totally underachieving buffs, the worst, didn't have a team this year to follow, but coaches emerge, these personalities emerge during the tournament, these teams that the Florida Atlantics, you know, and the Sister Jean and the Loyola Chicagos from a couple years ago. There's just so many storylines that develop every year. And obviously the buzzer beaters that come down to the end, and just the David versus Goliath aspect of it. It's just something that you don't see in any other sport. So just for that, how many games can you watch during March Madness, you know? And like I said, you can turn it on and not have a rooting interest in either team, and there's something to watch. So
I'll agree with you that there are more compelling stories than the Stanley Cup playoffs. I agree. Sister Jean, I mean, all the things you talk about, you know, the incredible buzzer beaters, the upsets, you know, Furman, Fairleigh Dickinson. But just from a competition standpoint, don't you feel like what you see on the ice or what you see on the court, that the Stanley Cup playoffs, from a competitive standpoint, every game's impactful, tons of game sevens, that just from what you see, not the storylines, but just what you see on the ice and the competition level is in the same, you know, to me, the same zip code as the NCAA basketball tournament.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, storylines, sure. I agree. NCAA tournament, there's 64 teams. There's teams that get there that are the Cinderellas and pull off the upsets. And there are just so many, like you said, fascinating stories. I agree. NCAA tournament over Stanley Cup playoffs in that regard absolutely dominates it. It's not the same thing. But the level of play, the passion, the competitiveness, I think are very much on the same par. Yeah.
And I love tuning in to an NHL playoff game, and it's the third period, and it's tied, and it goes to overtime, and you're going to sit there for three or four overtimes because the overtime rules change in the playoffs, and you're just glued. And it's amazing to see these guys, they've skated for, you know, 3.5 hours or whatever, and they're still going and still grinding it out.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, yeah, it's absolutely incredible.
It's also awesome. I thought Mark was a little easy on the bus on Wednesday on Thursday because I mean, come on, it's still Utah Valley. You can shine that thing up all you want to, but I would expect if you're consider yourself an upper tier Pac-12 team, let's just take care of business. But this team was void of leadership and point guard play. And I hope he's got some, I know he's got some coming in next year, but yeah, this was just a disappointing season.
They miss a McKinley Wright. They miss a guy like McKinley Wright. They miss a guy like Spencer Dinwiddie. They miss really good backcourt play. And, you know, the Lawson Lovering thing, I don't know how to take that because number one, if you're a Buff fan and you're going up to him and his dad at breakfast and you're cracking on him, really, what good does that do? Really, is that going to make that guy play better? But then also, if he goes someplace else, like Mark said, I agree. If he doesn't play brilliantly, play out of his mind, then you're going to have people still criticizing you. And even Drew Timmy, as good as Drew Timmy is, he talked about that. How he had people on social media, you can't win, Gonzaga sucks, you're underachievers, you're not that good, and dealing with that. And that's Drew Timmy, who is certainly one of the very best players in college basketball. And we saw that reinforced last night with his performance against UCLA. And that guy's getting grief. And so, if in the case of Lawson Lovering, I don't know where he's going to go, or he's going to be insulated from that.
No.
I feel bad for him. I really do. Nobody should be harassed. Nobody should be harassed when they're eating breakfast with their dad.
Right. That's not the time or place for it. You know, the keyboard warrior thing, that's one thing. But
walking up to somebody while they're having breakfast, right. You suck. You should be doing this. You should be doing that. Hey, AAU right. Basketball coach dad, don't need your opinion, man, okay? You coached 1 year of AAU basketball, and so you're going to go tell this Division I basketball player what he needs to be doing? Like Tad Boyle doesn't know what he's doing and isn't trying to coach him up? Like Tad doesn't know what he's talking about? That's just crap that drives me nuts.
Yep. But if Timmy's not insulated from it in Gonzaga, like you say, I don't know where you're going to go that you're not.
Exactly.
That you are insulated from it.
Yeah, I don't know where Lawson Lovering's going to go, or they're going to treat him great every single day, and every fan's going to be polite and say nothing but nice things about him on social media. Or leave him alone when he's having lunch someplace or whatever.
Right.
So,
but you know, there has to be more behind. Obviously, there's more behind that decision than just
probably so.
That one incident. I mean, there's players coming in that maybe his, you know, he sees his playing time greatly diminished and wants, you know, a chance to play somewhere else.
Just he's also coming off his best game, though. He scored 21 points. He's coming off his best game of his Buffs career. So I don't know, Mike. I don't know.
Well, hang in there.
Well, I'm wearing the Buffs hat for the women today, even though they're going up against Iowa. I'm picking home state loyalty over Iowa today.
I don't know what their chances are, but
they're a good basketball team. I mean, Caitlin Clark's great for Iowa. Colorado, right. Though, is pretty good. I mean, I don't know them inside and out by stretch of the imagination, but everything I read about them is pretty deep, pretty balanced basketball team.
When is that game? Is that
5:30 tonight?
Tonight.
Well, maybe
Seattle. I'll watch my first minute of women's basketball ever.
Yeah, I think J.R. Payne, the coach there, has done a nice job. She's done a really nice job. And, you know, she mentioned getting it back to where, you know, when Seal Berry was there and when they were good and they were going to the Sweet 16, Elite 8 a lot back in the day. Which is probably around your days, right? Roaming around Boulder.
Yeah, they were decent.
Yeah. All right, Mike. Have a great weekend, man.
Hey, see ya. You guys too.
All right, take care. All right, that's Mike from Scottsdale this morning.
I've actually got some new Buffs gear coming in, hopefully delivered today. Getting ready for Coach Prime.
Coach Prime. We're still planning on having the spring game April 22nd, by the way. Mark Johnson, Gary Barnett. 1 o'clock here on the team for that.
Nice.
All right. 8:28. And it's time to play Where in the World is Tyler Franzen?
Where in the world is
Carmen Sandiego?
Where the hell is he?
Well, I can't find him.
You cannot hide forever.
I will find you.
Chance to win brewskis today. Some Fat Tire from New Belgium Brewery and High Country Beverage. Must be 21 or older. And if you've won the last 2 weeks, please sit it out. For Where in the World is Tyler Franzen? I'm not sure how they expect to host a Frozen Four in the desert. But they will at this arena in 2026. Although I guess if they already have a hockey team there, it kind of makes sense. As for the arena itself, if it's anything like its marquee sponsor, it might be getting a lot of missed calls and delayed texts. Where in the world is Tyler Franzen?
Okay, you're going to win a case of Fat Tire today from New Belgium Brewery, High Country Beverage. Text in your answer. Once again, a couple things. 21 or older.
Please.
21 means 21. Also, if you've won the last 2 weeks, don't even play, okay? I mean, just don't participate.
We have rules for a reason.
Yeah.
Keep it fair for everybody.
Yeah. So send your answer in right now. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. Jackson Wilson, River City Sportplex. He's going to get to do most of the talking coming up because maybe the two of you should just talk. I mean, it's hanging in there. It's functioning at about 45% right now in that neighborhood. All right, we'll take a break and we'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
They need a wake-up call.
Call or text the Jim Davis Show on the Chick-fil-A team line. 970-242-1340.
It's just not enough.
That's right, baby. You and me, sweet love, by the fireplace. Till I catch my robe on fire, and you have to call the fire department. Then I have to go in and get skin grafts, and that's not sexy at all.
No.
No, it's not. This hour on the Jim Davis Show, brought to you by Preston Lee at Country Financial. Believes in building relationships, supporting the community, and serving others. Have a chat. Let him help you protect the things that are important to you. Google him at Preston Lee Country Financial. I am the late Barry White.
Your voice sounds pretty good when you do it like that, though.
Really, when I, yeah. when I do that. When I talk like that, Jackson.
If you lean into it just a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, I just got to talk slow and a little bit of sultriness to it, just a little bit. How you doing, Jackson?
All right, that's...
It's creeping
yeah.
you out, isn't it?
Yeah, that's...
It's creeping me out, too. I'm going to stop. Stop right now. All right, Jackson Wilson, River City Sportplex with us. Season's over for DU. They lose to Cornell 2-0. And, you know, of course, championship for the Pioneers last season. Avalanche, champions last year. Let's hope this is not a precursor for what the Avalanche might encounter moving forward.
Yeah, I hope not. You know, the NCAA tournament, DU, one game. You know, if you have a bad game, you're out. And they had a bad game yesterday against Cornell. And, you know, I got to watch a whole bunch of it, and they couldn't really get anything going. At one point, they had a five-minute major power play, and they only had two shots on net. Couldn't really even get into the zone on the power play, and it was struggling. And for those of you that watch Avalanche games, anytime on their power play when they're coming up the ice, you know, they come up in a wave, they drop the puck to Nate McKinnon, and they kind of let Nate McKinnon come up and make that decision to get across the blue line, how he's going to get across the blue line. Well, DU does that, but with two people on the back end, so they have an option to move it horizontally. And they just couldn't even get it going. And their power play was bad. They couldn't create possession. They weren't attacking the goaltender. And Cornell scores only two goals of the game in the first period. And then it was kind of a stalemate after that. And, you know, they just couldn't get anything going. And unfortunately, it's not a series. I would have loved to see DU maybe have a good game against Cornell, even a three-game series or something. But that's not how college sports work. And that's the love for college sports, especially in March. Right, you know,
if you lose, you're done.
Yeah, if you go out and you have a bad game, and DU was 1 seed and Cornell was 4 seed, but it doesn't matter. You know, you got to play, and they just didn't have what it took yesterday to continue. So now there's just a whole bunch of Minnesota teams left. I know for whatever reason Ohio State snuck in into the college hockey tournament, which is surprising.
Buckeyes told about that.
Yeah, which you know, so. No, it's all good. Minnesota Gophers, favorite to win it. They have a really good top line, and it'll be fun to watch the rest of this tournament. But, yeah, it does stink that DU's out.
Yeah, 2-0 loss to Cornell. And so, yeah, I just for the Pioneers, all the excitement from last year, some of those guys were at the Stanley Cup celebration downtown, which you were, yep. You were there as well. So, you know, I get to see a repeat of that this year, unfortunately.
Yeah, so, no, it'll be good. But, I mean, switching gears into the Avs, you know, they play tonight against the Arizona Coyotes at home. You know, two nights ago on TNT, they played Pittsburgh at home. And, you know, the Penguins came out, and they're a strong team. I mean, I think it's been since, like, Crosby's rookie year they've made the playoffs in Pittsburgh, like some crazy streak. And they're battling for their lives right now to be able to make the playoffs again. So they kind of ran into a stout team that you know, really needed the points, and they kind of got beat on home ice. And Jim, I don't know if you saw that goal by Sidney Crosby,
where
he went
sick.
Forehand, backhand on Sam.
Showing, hey, I'm still that guy.
Yeah.
Maybe not game in, game out, night in, night out, but there's still those moments. That...
It was super cool to watch back-to-back games where you had Crosby playing that early TNT game, and then you had McDavid playing that second game. Because, you know, so Crosby goes out, scores a 68-mile-an-hour backhand. And for those of you at home, a 68-mile-an-hour backhand is impressive.
Yeah.
That is something you don't just kind of – you got to be very good to deliver such a fast backhand like that. But, you know, Crosby goes out, delivers that goal, and then the next game, Connor McDavid goes out and in the first period scores from behind the goal line.
How about the season Connor McDavid's had? It's remarkable.
138 points. He's got, I think it's 60 goals and 78.
Fourth active player, I think, to reach that mark.
Yep. He's leading in goals, leading in assists. He has Leon Draisaitl, who is the best German player in the world right now, who's on his line with him, who made that incredible pass off of his knees in overtime to give Connor McDavid his second opportunity. McDavid scored. But, yeah, if we're watching Connor McDavid in his prime right now, I mean, it's, you know, it's like watching Cam Newton 2015. Like, it's just, right. I mean, it's just, you got to watch. And, you know, it's incredible. And if you have a chance to watch an Edmonton Oilers game, just sit down and watch 97. Any little kids at home hockey and stuff, like, go watch Connor McDavid. Like, he's just, his skills, his speed, the way he's playing with the puck out there. I mean, he looks like he's playing a league down. It doesn't look like he's playing.
Okay, we'll put you on the spot here. Mm-hmm. You're a coach, you're building a team.
Yep.
Who do you take, McKinnon or him? McDavid.
McDavid. Oh, it hurts. It hurts. I know.
He's good, though.
I mean, sorry. He is so good. And you can't go wrong with either one, right? But, and now I think here's a better question. Would I rather take McDavid or Makar? Right?
And
I'd rather take Makar because I am a firm believer in building from the back out.
Okay.
Edmonton's kind of done it differently because obviously they have a generational talent in McDavid. But I'm a firm believer. If I, you know, if this is a quote unquote fantasy drafter, I'm drafting a fantasy team, whatever. You know, I would start probably goalie and try and kind of build out. But I mean, you needed a good forward, you need a good D, you need a good goalie. Makar, though, I mean, he's special. I think McDavid's better than McKinnon, but Makar's kind of on another planet.
Were you surprised that the Avalanche didn't get a little shot on Jeff Carter the other night because of what Carter did in Makar the last time they played? And Carter had two goals the other night, and
yep,
Avalanche kind of left him alone. It was surprising me they didn't try to light him up a little bit.
You know, and I think, yes, to answer your question, yes, I'm surprised that there wasn't necessarily an answer because that's, you know, the unwritten rules of hockey is that,
like, you know, McDermott's back.
You know, I'm a hockey guy and I know I have had a lot of hits and forget a lot of stuff, but it's like what Newton's third law or whatever is, you know, for a reaction, there's an equal and opposite reaction type deal, right? And that's how hockey works with, you know, when guys get hurt or stuff happens. So I'm surprised they didn't really tune them up, but also I think there's so many things going on with the Avs right now that wasn't,
they don't need that potential headache.
They don't need the headache. I don't even think their attention was focused on that because they're right now, I mean, they're third in their division. They're only 2 or 3 points ahead of Winnipeg.
If they win the other night, they're tied for first in the Central.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why that was such a
close,
you know, and after, you know, how well they played up in, you know, north of the border, this recent winning streak they've been on. That's why the other night was so disappointing on their home ice. Against obviously a very desperate Pittsburgh team, and I get that. They're fighting for their playoff lives.
Yeah.
It's a proud franchise with Sidney Crosby, but I was, with what was right there in front of them, Jackson, I was surprised the way things went in that game.
Yeah.
Took a lot of penalties
yeah,
in that game.
100%. And you can't win that way, right? And it's just tough. And they're not in that position to be self-inflicting, you know, like the penalties and stuff when they're playing hungry teams right now. I mean, there's 10 games left in the season, basically. Avs, I think, got 12. So teams are hungry right now. I mean, like, your teams are fighting for their playoff life, like you said, and the East is super close at the bottom. The West is kind of rounding out the top eight. You just don't know where the seeding is going to end up. But I mean, yeah, you're playing teams like even Arizona right now pushed Edmonton into OT and they play Arizona tonight. And, you know, I'm a big Yotes fan and they're looking good. They're young. They have nothing to lose.
Right.
So it's kind of getting down to that time of year where you don't know what you're going to get from some of these teams. And the Avs really just got to get healthy and they got to get hungry and they got to win these important games.
And it can be a little bit deceiving because they have one of the softest remaining schedules.
Yep.
But when you face a team like Pittsburgh fighting for a playoff spot, record may not be great, but they have something to play for. Avalanche are playing for seeding.
Right.
And so when you're fighting to get in as opposed to seeding, Plus, you have all the, you know, still a lot of guys out. Josh, you know, Manson out, yep. Landy out.
Cam McCarr's been day to day.
Cam McCarr's been in and out. And so it may look like, hey, Avalanche should just cruise here. They should just go out and beat the snot out of everybody and woodshed everybody. And it doesn't always work out that way.
No, I agree. And they just don't seem to have the chemistry kind of rolling into where you want to be peaking. Right, like last year, they were peaking at this time. Right, like they were kind of rolling their move.
They were a juggernaut at the end of the season,
100%, and everyone knew it. And you know, right now they're more in the. I guess they got brought down to earth a little bit from last year. But I mean, I'm looking right here. Like Kale McCarr is day to day. Francois is goalie. He's out. Lekkonen's still out. Manson's out. Rodriguez is out. And then you got EJ and Landy on IR. So it's. I mean, that's.
Right, it's a lot of guys, a lot of impactful guys that are
six,
out.
Yeah, six guys in your backup goalie. I mean, you only roster 18 players, and you know that's a third. That's a third of your lineup right there is out. It's tough, and it's hurt. I think to have Landy out the whole year because I mean he's the guy that he'll go in and you know he'll just grind and he'll take pucks to the face or whatever he has to do, and he's been healing up, you know. So
should they have done more, McFarland and Sakic, at the trade deadline?
What a great what if.
Because that's gonna be the criticism if they don't go deep. And any Kisla mentioned that in the post.
I really don't know with the salary cap era how they could have these guys for next season and continue on.
Right.
Like, and keep guys they wanted to keep without getting rid of them for healthy guys right now. I guess follow along with that. That was kind of a little choppy in words, but like,
they made an investment in the guys that they have.
Correct.
There's only so much money to go around.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's been a bad year in terms of injuries, but you had to make commitments to McKinnon and McCarr and the players that they have on this roster because they're going to be there in 2024 and 2025. And right now, 2023, yeah, your cupboard's bare. Understand that a little bit. It's thin. But you're right. It's the investment was made long-term.
Right.
And they've ran into some things short term that have created challenges for them.
Yeah, like
that makes any sense.
And like, yeah, exactly. And you're still waiting on, you know, like Rantanen's had an unbelievable year, right? So like,
absolutely.
You know, put that in a bucket. Like he's been awesome. McKinnon's back; he's doing great. McCarr, I think they're just being all safe with him right now because they want him healthy for playoffs. It's all good. But we need guys like Big Vlad to step back up, right? Like we need him to start burying a couple goals a game here every five games or whatever. Like, you know, we need some impact out of him and some of these other guys in the lineup, you know, to get going. But yeah, it's tough. I mean, you look at their second power play unit right now, like Newhook's on that second power play with Galchenyuk and Dennis Malgin. Like that's our second power play right now. It's like,
right.
That's tough.
And Malgin's been really good. I had the two goals 100%. The other night and he's been really good.
And I'm not trying to take anything away from him, but just the comparison from this year to last year is, you know, like last year on that second power play, you had Kadri and you had, you know, like Helm and some of these other guys who were, you know, just popping off and you just don't really see that as much this season. But
what they did against the Blackhawks, and I get the Blackhawks are definitely a shadow of what they once were, but they got a lot of secondary scoring. McDermott back after missing 13 games, goal, Malgin with a couple of goals. The secondary scoring was huge.
Yeah.
And that's something that has been somewhat, at least in my opinion, Jackson, somewhat inconsistent this year where they had a lot of that last year.
No, I agree. It's tough, and that's, you know, and that goes back to the whole Kadri thing, and obviously they couldn't afford to keep him, but yeah, I mean, it's that secondary score, and they have to have it, and, you know, and thank goodness Jajoria has been great this year, you know, and he's been a great pickup, and, you know, that way they knew they could get him a little cheaper goalie, and they could send Kemper on his way, and Kemper hasn't played particularly great in Washington this season.
That's turned out to be a really good move by the Avs.
100%. And I was a big Kemper fan, right? The Kemperer, right? He came from Arizona. I love all my Yotes guys, but like, you know, it was the right decision to move along from him. But yeah, the secondary scoring's big. They need to get some of these guys back, and I think they can really make a push. But it'll be interesting to see who they get, you know, because they have the opportunity to get anyone from, you know, from Seattle to Winnipeg to Dallas, you know, you just don't
They could
know.
Still end up being the top team in the West.
They could. You're right. They're about 8 points out from Vegas from being the top team, but they got two games in hand.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you look at it too right now, they're in the West, they're third in goal differential. And that's how I judge a lot of these teams too. Like Minnesota's up there, but they're only plus 19 in goal differential, right? Avs are plus 37, right? So that means they've scored 37 more goals than they've given up. And that's kind of how I judge a lot of these teams, you know, and you know, you see the Kings and the Kings are great, but they're plus 18. So they're there, but also, you know, they got to be a little more consistent. And but once they get into a series, I really think that they'll be able to kind of find a way. But, you know, well, it's still up in the air. We'll have to find out.
All right, now we have to take a break, but the Hawk Hacker coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, so we've gotten a bunch more teams. So we're going to open all 27 holes at Adobe for the tournament now. So we still have about, I think, 8 to 10 more teams available. So if you're interested in participating in the Youth Hockey Golf Tournament, all the money, all the fundraising goes straight to the Youth Hockey Club. It's our biggest fundraiser of the year. It's super fun. That is all available at rivercitysportplex.com. And then if you go under teams and under Riverhawks and on the Riverhawks team and homepage, right on the homepage is all the information. So,
and that's the fourth.
And that's the second. The second.
Second.
So 9 a.m. shotgun start Sunday, April 2nd. A lot of prizes to be won. We'll have a silent auction out there with a lot of hockey stuff as well too. So it'll be a really good day. Really fun for our hockey community to be able to go out there and celebrate what the kids have done this year.
RiverCitySportplex.com. Get there. Get your team in and support youth hockey here in the Valley. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And stick around. We'll do some four-down territory. That's on the way next on the Jim Davis Show.
It's a good show.
Probably the best show around.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back. Jim along with Cake today, Jackson Wilson, River City Sportplex. Don't forget to get signed up for the Hawk Hacker coming up April 2nd. Go to rivercitysportplex.com. What, about 10 teams available?
Yeah, about 8 to 10 teams
eight
left.
To 10
yeah,
teams,
we,
okay.
You had the wait list, filled the wait list up, and then we went to 27 holes. It's going to be awesome, man.
We'll have Adobe Creek.
Yep.
So don't miss it. All right, let's get into...
We're into four down territory on the Jim...
Excuse me? Didn't mean for that. Let's try... Take two on
take
that.
Take two.
Oops, let's try that again. Take two. Here we go. Four down territory.
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
All right, let's try that again. I jumped the gun on something I was trying to do. All right.
Good.
First down. We got a couple of some sound from the NCAA tournament last night. Mick Cronin, not exactly a happy guy after his Bruins lost to Gonzaga.
No.
Mick Cronin whining and crying about the officiating last night.
I don't have one. My opening statement is it just took 33 minutes to get me in here, which is ridiculous. Any questions? We're going to open up questions for the...
Wow.
Oof.
Mick Cronin, not happy at all.
A little salty.
He said he had to... Well, first off, he didn't like the officiating. He was happy about that. But also, because that was later, he went on... But he had to wait 33 minutes for Gonzaga to do their presser, and that chapped his butt.
Great.
Now to the victors go the spoils, Mick. And that was not you last night. Second down, another crabby jerk after the game last night. Tom Izzo, after his team lost to Kansas State in overtime, 98-93. Tom Izzo, not exactly happy about the outcome last night. No. Izzo went out of his way to say that Kansas State made some lucky plays. Give them credit. They banked in two shot clock threes. They made some big plays, but some of those plays weren't big plays. They were lucky plays. I don't think we played our best. Some of it was them. Some of it was us.
Okay.
How about just simply say,
We didn't play our best.
Congratulations to Coach Tang in Kansas State.
Do you think that play when the guy was arguing with the coach and threw the alley-oop, do you think that was planned or not?
I don't know. Kind of felt that way, didn't it?
It felt
like, yeah, we're going to...
Yeah.
Little diversionary tactic there. Kind of felt that way.
Never know.
All right, third and fourth down.
Someone is apparently posing as Lamar Jackson's agent and infiltrated the league's owners to the point where there was a memo sent saying, hey, only negotiate with Lamar because this guy posing as Lamar's agent isn't actually negotiating on his behalf. Very odd.
And that is a problem for Lamar Jackson. Of his mom is kind of his agent. He represents himself to a degree.
Right.
I get it. You don't like to pay the 10% or whatever. But it pays to have somebody that knows what they're doing when it comes to negotiating contracts and dealing with stuff like this.
Yeah.
And that's not Lamar Jackson and his mom. I'm sorry.
No.
And then this stuff like this happens where people pretend, because you don't have an official representative. Well, actually, I'm representing Lamar Jackson. And there are people that buy into that kind of garbage.
Yeah.
Are they doing that to some bar or something? Trying to impress people?
I have no idea. I'm
not sure.
Fourth down, Rory McIlroy this week hit a drive on the 18th that carried 349 yards. The average carry drive on that hole, 281.
Wow.
Hit it 3 feet from the pin.
Incredible.
Pretty good stuff.
All right, we have a little bit of time here, Jackson. You got one? Okay, go ahead. Go.
Lane Johnson, 33 million 1 year contract extension, 30 million guaranteed for a year with the Eagles. Joe Thomas has to be rolling over right now.
Joe's like, wait a minute.
I know.
Maybe I should come back and I can put some weight back on.
Yeah, I know it. No, did you see Joe Thomas came out? Peyton tried to get him to come to the Broncos back when Peyton came to the Broncos. Yep, and he wouldn't leave Cleveland.
He wouldn't leave Cleveland.
I mean, yeah.
Well, like Mike McGlinchey said, apparently the case of Lane Johnson, those are some very expensive socks. Because there's the analogy came up where linemen are like socks and underwear. They're not sexy, but you need them.
Yep. 100%.
Well, that was a very expensive pair of underwear or socks. That the
$30 million guaranteed, $33 million off the 1 year.
All right, very good, Jackson. Always great to see you.
Appreciate you. Good luck with the voice.
Well, it'll be okay. It's got 1 hour left. I think I can ride it out for one more hour.
Nice.
Yeah, very good. Always good to see you, man.
You too.
All right, don't forget Hawk Hacker. Still got time to get a team signed up. Go to RiverCitySportsPlex.com. April 2nd out at Adobe Creek National Golf Course.